Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, socially distancing, feminist ho who lives in New York City and whose pronouns are she and her.
Me, Rodeca, a fat, black, polyamorous, pansexual pessimist who probably cries too much and uses humor to distract everyone from the fact that we are currently in the darkest timeline, and my pronouns are she and her.
And Akua, or the artist formerly, the therapist formerly known as Akua.
Wait, what? Does that mean you're not a therapist anymore?
She is an artist.
Oh, okay. So now your name is a symbol like Prince?
Yep.
What symbol is it? I feel like it's the wet emoji.
I want to see it so bad.
Can it be the wet emoji?
Okay.
Every episode of Inner Ho Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interviews from insightful folks. And occasionally, or until the foreseeable future, we hit you with episodes where we're all recording remotely, because that's the good thing to do. This episode specifically, we're talking about sex trafficking and sex work. There's a big difference, and it's important that you understand that. Social distancing, dance parties, and karaoke lessons. If you lost your job during the COVID-19 pandemic, we can relate. Pandemic dating sucks. Sex robots are the perfect quarantine buddies and the future of romance.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoUprising so we can see it, and the hashtag Podin so other people can see it.
And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at InnerHoUprising without the G on Twitter, InnerHoUprising on Instagram and Facebook. And you can join our Facebook group by searching InnerHoUprising Community, CUMMUNITY. Head to innerhouprising.com to sign up for weekly goodies via our newsletter, pay a ho, or check out our merchandise.
And if you want to pay us to virtually speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, podcasting, or other kinds of topics we discuss on this here show, we would love to. We would also love to host a consent, pleasure, or dating virtual workshop for your organization. So to book us, you can send us lines to ihupodcast@gmail.com. First up, we are talking about our hoes of the week this week. And we have three very lovely hoes of the week this week. If you are a new listener, then you don't know that we give our hoes of the week nicknames. And if you're a new listener, you might not know that the hoes of the week have to guess. Or not, they don't have to, but it would be fun if they did. Why their nickname is their nickname. So this week we got Al, aka Mont Gizzy, who became a patron. We got Erica, aka Easy, who left a sweet review on Apple Podcasts. And we got Carla, aka K2 Visa, who edited their Patreon down to $2. And we appreciate you doing what you can to stick around as a patron. We understand if anybody needs to like not be a patron anymore.
We love you either way.
If you would like to be a hoe of the week and get a cool nickname, here are some things that you can do. You can donate to us on PayPal at paypal.me/innerho. You can become a Patreon. You can become a patron on patreon.com/innerhouprising. You can shout us out in an article you've written on social media. You can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You can purchase some merchandise at innerhouprising.com/merchandise. There are like 4 shirts left. Buy them. And the links to do all of those things are in the show notes for this episode. Let's get on to self-care tip of the week. Self-care tip of the week this week is to dance. Aku, I saw that you've been dancing.
Yes. I feel it's really important to get your body moving. A lot of us are like sitting still in front of a screen, and you know, that becomes so mundane and adds to the stir crazy. So like getting up and dance. What I've also noticed is people's fat phobia, like really just being all about exercise and, oh, I'm gonna like gain 300 pounds because of this quarantine. And it's like, all right, whatever. But move your body in whatever way is you feel is good for you, whatever way you can do. And Sam has the right idea with dance.
You know me and my dancing. If you've seen the TikTok, not exactly the most coordinated, but I do.
I mean,
like
nobody
to dance.
Said that the self-care tip of the week was to dance well.
That's nope. True. Oh, that's thank you. I appreciate that. I really do. Yes. Dancing is, I love to do it alone, but it's very daunting. And with TikTok being this thing, it's incredible. But everyone's like, do it. And I'm like, oh, God.
The fact that you specifically said daunting has me fucking weak. Like, damn, son. Like, facing a dark end of an endless tunnel right now.
It is terrifying.
Sheesh. Okay, well, luckily, what I'm about to suggest doesn't have anything to do with people looking at you. I'm not suggesting that you record TikToks, although that's a really fun way to get out your dance moves. I am suggesting the fact that many DJs on Instagram have your back with the fucking virtual dance parties. So there are a bunch of DJs and venue holding virtual dance parties, and I'm going to list off some that you can check out. You can follow them. You can turn on live push notifications if you're an Instagram user to be alerted of when the parties start, or you can look at their regular feed and see, oh yeah, I'm going live Monday night at 5 p.m. Eastern time, and you can like be able to be at your phone in a space where you can dance 5 p.m. Eastern time. So famously, you might have heard about this over the weekend, we got D-Nice, who was a rapper from the Bronx. So shout out to New York. But over the weekend, he hosted a 100K plus person dance party. Did you guys hear about this?
Yeah.
Did you check in?
No. I didn't even hear that's about so, it. I feel like so I live under a rock. I don't know what happened.
Was like, yeah. And Rebecca's like, no. Nah. That was two different ends of the spectrum. Okay.
represent anyone who may be listening. Right
for, yeah, for anybody who's on any side of the fucking spectrum. He's been doing this since like last Monday, I think. And yeah, so you're really out of the loop. No, everybody just like found out about it like over the weekend though.
Okay.
And he goes live on an evening, and on this past Saturday, he went live for like 8-9 hours.
Whoa.
And like, I've never seen 100,000 people in somebody's live before, but there was 100,000 people there, some including Michelle Obama, Will Smith, Rihanna, Elizabeth Warren was there. It was just really, really wild.
Wow.
And like, also fucking fun. And like, he was actually like, it's cool, like, to be in a collective virtual space with like so many different people from around the world and all these like A-listers or whatever. But like, the point of this is not that. The point of this is to dance. And he was actually like spinning like some fucking good shit. And then when people would come in who were like musicians or related to music, he would play like their song. So like, Diddy came in the chat and he was like, "We ain't go in nowhere.
Dope.
We ain't." And then it was also like indicative of the fact that they were not going anywhere, because that was like the seventh hour. So that was pretty fucking fun. And he like drank a lot of liquor, and then after like 8 hours, he only started drinking water. And I was like, "Thank God, this nigga's about to fucking pass away."
Passed out on the live. Yeah. With "We Ain't Going Nowhere" like echoing in the background.
I mean, these are dark times, so that very well could have happened. And I've been like, "Damn."
Then the Black Bear title card comes in, because it just has to.
Oh fuck! Yeah, well. Hopefully that doesn't happen. D-Nice on Instagram. If you're into deep cuts and good vibes are your thing, you can check out Solection and its founder, Joe K. So they normally have a radio show that's on Beats One Radio that I really, really enjoy. But also sometimes they'll just go on Instagram Live, and it's very vibesy. Some other people who I follow on Instagram and suggestions that I got from folks on my Instagram include @RayChardonnay, @FWFNYC, then there's Mocada Museum, which is @MOCADA_museum, who's actually doing a whole radio show series with music from the African diaspora, along with little historical snippets that relate to the kind of music. So that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
There's @MuseOnFire, @HouseOfYes, which is a venue here in New York City, @HellaGayDanceParty, and everybody loves a gay dance party, especially Rodecca, as she let us know a couple of episodes ago.
I do love a gay dance party.
There's @NowadaysNYC, which is another venue here in New York, and there's @HazelMariba, who Instagram user Angel in the Wind put me onto when I was listening to some of that yesterday, and I was like, she good. So those are all fun DJs. They'll all be in the show notes for this episode. I'm sure there are many, many more DJs and venues doing this kind of thing, and you can check the Instagram of your local venues to see what they have going on. So happy vibing to you all, and happy dancing to you all, or just like head nodding, you know, grooving. And also for like, I don't think D-Nice needs money right now, but for like some of these smaller DJs, it would be really nice if you could leave something in their Cash Apps or their Venmos or whatever, because chances are, with so many gigs being canceled, their sources of income has been greatly affected. So happy dancing, everybody. Okay, now we're getting into our next segment, which is called Fuck That. That is our current event segment. And today, as often, we are talking about sex dolls and sex robots. But now we're talking about it in the context of the coronavirus pandemic because, as capitalism does, sex doll companies are cashing in on the coronavirus pandemic. So this is from an article in the New York Post. And as you may know, the New York Post is my favorite website when I want to cover a silly bullshit story like this one. So thank you, New York Post, for your contributions to the Interhall Uprising. And thank you, Adam Schrader, who wrote this article. Oh, man. Shout out to Adam Schrader. That's fun work. All right, so this article is basically just an update on how folks in the sex toy industry are tweaking their business models in these difficult times. So first up, we got a update from Abyss, which is the maker of Real Dolls. I don't know if you guys want to click on that Instagram post.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Why is that the reaction?
Because it was very stylistic, and I was like, oh, this looks kind of nice. And then I didn't even see the caption yet, so I was just, like, admiring the photo, I guess, because
These are some pretty schwank-looking sex dolls, I guess.
Yeah, and then the plush rug. I'm like, this is, you know?
That's pretty aesthetic, yeah. That's pretty aesthetic. I'll put the link to the picture that we're talking about in the show notes of this episode. I will say there's one particular doll, and I'm sure they all do, but this doll has some, like, very large tits.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just disproportionately large tits.
Yes.
Like, it looks like her titty ends, and then there's actually more titty.
There's more titty.
Under the strap.
Underneath.
So those are, like, really, really big titties. Wow. Amazing. You truly love to see it. Anyway, so they posted this picture on their Instagram with the caption, "Self-isolating doesn't have to be the worst!" exclamation point. All real dolls are made from platinum-grade silicone and are naturally antibacterial and non-porous. Want one? So this was interesting to me for one reason and one reason only, and it is that they said that the toys are antibacterial, seemingly to jump on, you know, the coronavirus marketing train, but coronavirus or SARS-CoV-2 is actually a virus,
mm-hmm.
not a bacteria.
Man, they're just getting people who are just like reading it quickly and they're like, oh, that makes sense. I'm going to get this. But yeah, they didn't research.
Yeah. But also I tried to do research and I was like, does something that's antibacterial mean that it's also like antiviral? But I couldn't. No results came. So if you are a microbiologist, you know the answer
which you
to
might
this
be
question.
On here.
You might be. You very well be. IHUpodcast@gmail.com. Please let me know the answer. They also said that it's non-porous, and I thought that was a bit, that doesn't really relate, because the virus itself remains on surfaces up to 72 hours, and that's not just porous surfaces. It's actually all surfaces.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not to discourage anybody from getting a sex doll at this time. You can just wash your sex doll with soap and water for the aforementioned time period, which is 20 seconds, I guess, for the entire doll. It'd be 20 seconds. Or you could just not interact with it for 72 hours. Also, all of these dolls are sterilized before shipping, so I'm sure it's fine. I just thought that the framing was all wrong. All right, so we have an update from Real Sex Doll Reviews, which is a blog dedicated to real sex doll reviews. This is from a February 24th article, so this guy was like way ahead of it, ahead of coronavirus concerns before our country was even concerned with coronavirus. And it is written by someone by the name of Sex Dolls Expert, which I think is a very good pen name.
Yeah. That wasn't taken?
Maybe he's just like been on this from
true.
You know?
Maybe he is from that nigga.
Yeah, from the first sex doll, he was like, there's something here. Like, there's a niche here that I need to fill. That I need to fill! Hi-yo! So he debunks... this is so silly. He debunks some myths for us regarding coronavirus and sex dolls specifically. So the first myth is that COVID-19 and other viruses, I do want to say that COVID-19 is the disease. The virus is actually called SARS-CoV-2 or novel coronavirus, but sure. COVID-19 and other viruses can reside, sustain life, and propagate inside your sex dolls. And he lets us know, I'm sorry, let me use they. They let us know that no, these microorganisms can live and sustain life inside the human cell. Plastic creations like sex dolls do not have human cells, though, so viral life would not be sustained inside these sex dolls. And that is true. Viruses are not living entities, and their purpose is to attach to a living entity so that it could propagate. It's the second myth busted. Sex dolls from China do not undergo thorough sterilization processes. I think that whoever said that was just being racist, because why would it be?
That seems like something I would never think ever. That's like very specifically.
Like, all of the rest of the world except China is not sterilizing their sex dolls. Like very, very niche racism over there. But they let us know, no, after the sex dolls have been assembled. And also they do say China because a lot of sex dolls are manufactured in China.
Got it.
So that's why they specifically do say China. And then also because that's where the first case of novel coronavirus was detected. No, after the sex dolls have been assembled, the products are sprayed with antiseptic sterilizer to wash away all of the unnecessary particles. Before it ships out, the company reassures that each doll is well sealed to avoid contact with any unwanted particles outside the factory. And last but not least, viruses and bacteria will survive the entire shipping time frame. No. It's always no with an exclamation point.
No.
No.
You're wrong.
Bacteria and viruses cannot live outside the human host for weeks or months. As I said, it is 72 hours with this specific virus. They are so vulnerable and can only survive for hours in an open environment. I feel like that's a bit misleading. It should say days, because 72 hours is 3 days. But anyway, our last update is from sex doll maker Silicon Wives, and they are actually running a free sex doll giveaway sweepstakes.
Hey.
It is advertised as, are you stuck inside with nothing to do for the, they spelled coronavirus wrong, for the coronavirus quarantine? We're giving away free sex dolls to ease your social distancing. They're accepting two winners, and I myself entered, and I really hope I win, because wouldn't that be fucking ridiculous? We just have a sex
That'd
doll
be awesome.
With Crucifix Studios. It would be awesome. I really actually do hope I win. Unfortunately, the entries close the Monday before this episode comes out, so no sex dolls for you. Sorry. Well, I want to ask you guys, do you have any musings on the new normal after the pandemic passes in regards to sex, love, and dating? Like, do you think that this will lead to a long-lasting spike in different kinds of romantic and sexual behaviors?
I think so, personally. I'm on a couple of dating sites in general, and I get a lot of push notifications. And the message is really like, oh, you don't have to meet up or do anything in order to date. You can do, like, virtual stuff. And they're really, like, pushing that, because that's, like, the app clearly has to keep going. But it also makes me think, like, maybe there will be more of an emphasis on, like, dating virtually beforehand, before you're meeting people, because it's just like, I don't necessarily have to go to this bar and meet anyone anymore, which you always had the option to do, but it's just like, that's the normal thing to do. And now I feel like people will probably, like, you know, maybe cook dinner and eat it in front of a screen now and do all that type of stuff more and for longer before they even decide to meet in person. I can definitely see that being a thing. I can definitely see people being inside more, or rather the opposite, like they appreciate being outdoors and interacting with people more. So that might change things. And when I have sex now, like, I keep thinking about kissing, and I'm like, ugh, viruses. Sometimes.
That's very funny. This nigga's just making out with you, and you're like, viruses. Let me get some Lysol for this nigga mouth. Man. How about you, Akua?
I think that in terms of dating, people will just, like, go right back
Ooh.
To before. But what I do want this to open up, or what I've really been thinking about, is, like, because people with current sexual partners, whether live in or not, are more than likely still seeing their sexual partners, because people just be out here being risky. But the idea of, like, introducing a new sexual partner, because you don't know them or where they've been, and no one's really has, like, attention on STI testing. Like, a lot of our healthcare workers are being pushed into, like, being on the front lines of this virus. But, like, things like virtual mutual masturbation, like, other ways to have sex virtually, I would really hope for people to, like, pick up and continue, because it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think people who tend to go outside have there's like a weird introvert extrovert war going on Twitter, mm-hmm. like with the social distancing practices, and I think that's super fucking weird, and like, get a life outside of, like, defining your personality solely on those things. But I think that things that are typically considered behavior, or things that are behavior that you would do inside the house, are seen as, like, inferior in terms of socializing.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's always been fucking ableist off rip. Exclusionary of people who have agoraphobia or people who are introverts and who do really get exhausted from like being around a lot of people. And I think that now that everyone is actually participating in those activities, it's like normalized that these activities are not like you're not weird for wanting to do that. Or you're not weird for wanting to like video chat the person before you go on a date with the person or something like that. How has all of this affected your romantic and sexual behaviors besides, ew, this nigga has virus in his mouth? Is that it?
When this all first happened, I was at Chris's house. So for me, I didn't really want to leave or go home because I didn't like feel safe leaving, so it forced me to stay here longer than I've ever been, which was like 3 weeks straight, I want to say. And it was just like, oh man, I don't know how this is gonna go, because you never know what it's gonna be like being in sharing a space with a person can go one way or the other. But it's been generally pretty great. It's just been forcing us to find other ways to like communicate, and also just like not necessarily okay, I'm leaving, coming back. It's just like, all right, now what do we do? And like, I got like a card game, so that we could like not look at a TV screen for a little bit and just like kind of switch it up. So that's been cool. I had a date, which got canceled. So that like certain things, like different aspects have been like, it's been good in one way, but another thing, like I was really looking forward to going to the museum with this person. She and I were going to, you know, have an introvert date, because that's what we were talking about, how like we don't like to go out, but we're like, we love the museum, so let's go to the museum together. And then the first place that got the boot was the Met, and that's where I was going to go. So it's been good and just kind of like, oh man, that sucks. So I guess it has been affecting it just because of the fact that things got canceled, but also there's a light at the end of the tunnel, because at least I know I can coexist with my partner and have a good time. So,
have you considered virtual dates, like the virtual museum exhibits with her on FaceTime or something?
Now that we're having this conversation, I started thinking about like virtual dates, and like for some reason that's scary. I want to do it, but like that's like, to think about looking at somebody for that long and just like, I know it sounds crazy, but like I would be meeting them for the first time and like to like stare at another person. The thing about the museum is I feel safe there because I go there all the time. Mm-hmm. So like I can go around this corner and know I'm gonna see these Greek models and stuff like that, and I can be like, oh yeah, I've been here, and I read the same thing over and over again, and there's comfort in that, because it's also like I can look at that thing and not look at the other person. And in this, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe they'll start, maybe we can take a tour together and just like look at that and not stare at each other on the camera. But yeah,
well, maybe you can live chat while you're doing it.
Yeah, that'd be cool. See, these are all things that like, because I've never thought about doing them, I just never considered. But now I'm like, yeah, there are other ways to get around that. So maybe that is something I would definitely do for sure.
Cool. Cool. I don't want to look at this person's face. How about you, Akua? Anything different?
You know damn well ain't nothing going on.
Well, I have to ask you so as to not be rude. So that's what that was. All right. So we know you have nowhere to go, but is your sex toy collection looking a little dry during this time? Well, luckily for you, we've got the goodie bags to get those juices flowing. Your favorite queer black feminist podcasters, Inner Ho Uprising, are teaming up with the sex toy boutique Babeland Toys to give away a sexy goodie bag that we're calling a ho bag to one lucky winner. How do I win, you might be asking? You can head over to innerhouprising.com and sign up for our weekly newsletter. So that is innerhouprising.com/hobagsweepstakes, the link to which will be in the show notes. And that's it. You're actually winning twice, because the newsletter is a goodie bag in and of itself filled with sex positive content from four black baddies, and with tips and tricks on how to have a fulfilling, shame-free sex life. Entrants must be 18 and older in order to play. Sorry to the ute dem. The winner will be selected from a list of entrants at random, and when the winner is chosen, they'll be asked to verify their age by us in our uprising before the prize is shipped. That's a party on the weekend. That's a party on the weekend. She love a party on the weekend. She love a party on the weekend. Let's go on to our next segment, which is called Fuck Me, and is the segment about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives. So in this segment, there's a little mini segment called How Samantha Got Her Groove Back Challenge, where I would go on a date every week and report back to you how the date was. So in the time of social distancing, I'm not going on physical dates anymore, but I am opening or trying to open myself up to virtual dates. And if you still don't understand why it's important that you practice social distancing during this time, myself and my team at In Those Jeans put out a really stellar episode breaking down everything you need to know about the coronavirus, and we touch on why social distancing is so fucking important. So you can hit the link in the show notes to listen. I'm aware that all of your bars and venues are closed, but it's still not really okay for you to be going on dick appointments right now, and we talk about that in the episode. Okay, so I didn't go on a virtual date this week. I hate everybody. I'll talk about that a little bit later, although it's obvious. Everybody knows that I hate everybody. But I want to suggest a virtual date for you all, and that is virtual karaoke. And it goes as follows. You and your bae and or bays open up your favorite video chat app of choice, and then on another device or in another tab, you go to youtube.com and you type in your song that you want to sing, followed by the word karaoke. Literally, YouTube has a karaoke version of every fucking song that's ever existed. And there you are. That's your setup, and now you can do virtual karaoke.
That's so cute.
But would you do it though, Rodeca? Because you don't want to look at these people's faces. So is it cute or is it ugly?
I would do it. I think everything is different. If I have a date, I probably have a glass of wine next to me, and once that glass of wine hits, I'm singing. I'm a belt anything. I'll be doing Halo, all of it. And you know, I picked the hardest song on purpose.
That would be your song of choice. Akua, what would your song of choice be?
Ah, shit. Well,
Rebecca already busted out the Beyonce. You know,
it would definitely be something Beyonce, but I'm not sure which song.
Maybe throw some Frank Ocean in there.
Oh, God, I've fallen asleep. Samantha, exit chat.
That's a personality song. Wait, did you just snore? Nah.
I'm sorry. Wait, what? Here. I just woke up, huh? I'll be recorded.
That's fine. Niggas is falling asleep in the middle of recording.
I've never been more bored. Wow, I know the slander is going to come, and I'm ready for it. Frank Ocean himself can hit me up.
Frank Ocean's gonna hit you up like, yo, I do not appreciate you falling asleep when my name is mentioned.
I don't think he's that boring. I think it's just funny now. SZA, however. Just kidding.
That's fine. That's fine.
Oh, man. Akua, what the fuck is your song for these stands ransack my home?
I couldn't tell you exactly which song. It wouldn't be Beyonce. It would probably be something Destiny's Child, because I know all the words. I love Say My Name by Destiny's Child. So there we go.
There you go.
That's fun. That's really fun. Mine would be some sort of...
Oh, God.
It would be some like corny new metal from the 2000s. I'm specifically thinking about Freak on a Leash by Korn.
Nice.
Or something My Chemical Romance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh, okay.
Or We Belong Together by Mariah Carey, because I always
wow.
Yeah,
both ends of the spectrum here.
Niggas okay. Got a wide variety of strange tastes.
I see that.
All right, well, you all at home, let us know if you do this virtual karaoke and what your top karaoke songs are. All right, so in other updates in the world of Sam, I was like, I feel like everybody's like doing their like little quarantine thing, and they have their little like quarantine bays and things like that. And I have nothing, mm-hmm. and I have nobody. Like, even that's when you know, like, people who were hitting you up before were only trying to like clap cheeks when they don't hit you up when they can't fucking leave, which is funny because mm-hmm. you were never going to clap cheeks anyway. But sure, here we are now. Now I'm just bored. So I wasn't getting any, like, I only use one dating app. So that's probably like a flaw. I should probably put myself in different places, but a little bit too lazy to do that. So I just changed my current dating app bio for more interaction, and I did get more interaction. So I changed the bio, I changed out some pictures, and I also just opened up my mileage preferences, which I think was the real determining factor, honestly, because mm-hmm. it was like 7 miles before. It's like, I'm not commuting.
Mine's 5.
I'm not moving.
But anyway, so I unfortunately opened myself up to more people, And I wanted to share one of my interactions with one of you guys. So I was talking to this person and he's like, how are you doing with all the virus talk? And already that's like, that's a pink flag because it's not talk, it's a virus, like it exists. And I'm like, just doing what I can to socially distance and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, yeah, I'm going between that and like, if it exists or something like that.
Oh.
And I was like, LMAO, what are you talking about?
Oh.
And then he word for word said, the virus, I don't know if it's real or not. A lot of people got mixed reviews about it.
Mixed reviews.
Mixed reviews?
I'm like, is this a movie, my nigga?
Like, it's a movie? Is this like, a book? I don't know if I want to go out and see it.
Is this the new Frank Ocean album? Like, what?
Wait a minute. Why does Frank have to come back into this?
Because he is an artist and they can have mixed reviews on an album. That's true. It wasn't even but it's fucking just like, made.
What are the reviews on whether or not like they want it or whether or not it exists?
So it just quickly devolved into he didn't know whether or not it was a hoax. And at that point, I knew this is a dub, but I was a little bit angry. So like, I kind of like yelled at him a little bit, not yelled, but just like engaged a little bit more. And then he was like, I was like, what is your proof, my nigga? And he's like, many people are not getting it. And I'm like, okay, cancer exists. Sorry. Many people don't have cancer. What are we talking about now? And then this nigga doubled down and was like, okay, but he said there are fucking healers and vegans who do not believe that cancer exists. And that's a hoax by the FDA to continue to sell drugs. And I'm just like, nope.
Oh.
No people who have died of cancer. Goodbye. You gotta go.
Oh,
you
so
gotta
that's
go.
That's what that's what dating apps for me are right now.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
and I just
this happened after you opened up the mileage.
Yeah. Opened up a little bit too much.
you went too far out.
Fuck.
Damn.
But yeah, hopefully it'll get better. I don't know. I think my hypothesis is that people are not adhering to these restrictions and they're still like going out anyway and getting their little sex appointments with other people. And so they don't really need the dating apps, or maybe they're like quarantined with other people. All right, Rebecca, you tell us how things are going your way.
Yeah. So the Rona. Coronavirus, you know, as Cardi
would say. Shit is getting real,
you know.
Prophetic.
Got real as fuck for me, man. got real as fuck. I lost my job. Got laid off. They do say that it's for 30 to 60 days, but my biggest fear and more like something that I'm definitely preparing for is that it's not going to be something that I get back, just because they did say that they're going to ask people to come back on a case-by-case basis. And because I started relatively recently, I don't see myself being at the top of the list, just because I haven't really proven myself as an asset for the company, which I understand, but it's also like that puts me in a position that I've never been in before, which is like, one, not having a job involuntarily, which I've just never been in that position before. The virus concerns in November, obviously, like people in America and as a whole weren't really like on the, they wasn't really on their radar. And like, it's all happened so fast from like November to now, like it was just 2 weeks of everything happening at once. So I just feel kind of like everyone else, but also just because I have also lost my job, it feels like everything is in an upheaval and I'm very confused. And I haven't really had any type of like time, or rather I've had too much time to think about it. So everything just feels disorienting. And I feel like a lot of, like I'm both more anxious, but also feeling less as an individual because I cannot process all the changes. I feel like I was finally getting some traction and control of stuff. And then like, damn, you know, so that kind of sucks. This is just financially fucked is what I would say. I've applied for unemployment, but you know, Rebby or not, it's the cash app if y'all feel a nigga out here. But also it's, my anxiety has really taken a toll in this situation. I'm a relatively anxious person. I do think about a lot of things and think about all the consequences and bad things that could happen pretty much daily. But being home, it's been a lot more than I'm used to. I usually have things to distract me, like work, and I can just kind of dissolve myself into that. But now it's like everything makes me anxious. I'm much more jumpy. I wake up in the morning and like, just to give you an example, like I get out of bed and I'm like, don't get out of bed this way because you might snap your neck. Don't get in the shower because you might, and it's just like constant, like there's a constant voice in my head all the time now. And it's just like dealing with that and like not trying to hear that has been difficult because I've just not been indoors like this in a very long time. And it just made me realize like how not bad it's gotten, but it's a lot more intense when there's not any outside voices kind of distracting you from that. And also like losing your job and all that type of stuff makes me more anxious. So it's not been the most pleasant of times over here mentally anyway, but I feel like I'm trying to be positive and just moving forward with stuff.
Thank you for sharing that. Obviously, sorry that you lost your job. Obviously hoping that unemployment kicks in sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
And reiterating that your Cash App is $Rebby, R-E-B-B-Y, or O-R, not N-O-T. That will be in the show notes for this episode. I do want to like empathize on the finally getting traction and control of your life and just feeling like everything fucking turned around. I too also feel like I finally got some sort of hold on my life. I'm very pissed that I just bought a car and now I cannot really drive it anywhere and still have to like pay for it. So that fucking sucks. Wish I would have waited a couple of months later. And then also like something that like professionally, I think I was like really banking on the abundance of income of other people to like do the things that I want to do professionally. And now that is like non-existent. And like one of the really big goals I had for this show was like to like get us out there speaking so that we could all be paid and like adequately compensated for doing this show. And like all of those were fucking canceled. So yeah, I was like really down on myself about that. I guess that was like last week when everything shut down in New York. And I was talking to a friend of mine. And I was just like, the fuck is the point? Like, this all just started and now, like, it's coming to a crashing end. And he reminded me that, like, although it's, like, this is, like, a cessation period, like, all the things that you've put into your personal, like, buildup are going to be there after, mm-hmm. like, the pandemic passes. Man. So, like, I remember when you just left JetBlue and you were like, am I going to get a job? And I was like, yeah you're going to get a job immediately. And then you were like, I haven't gotten one yet. And I was like, how long have you been applying? You were like, a day. And I'm like, what? And then like 6 days later, you had a job.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I'm almost certain that after the pandemic, like you have accumulated the skill set in your life and like you've done the work to do so that like after this all passes, even if it's not this job that takes you back, like you will find something pretty shortly after.
Well, thank you. I need that. It's, again, it's the same moment where I'm like, never. I will not have anything. But yeah, you're right. I mean, just gotta keep the faith.
You got skills, man. Yeah. You got mad skills in the words of the 90s or something.
In the words of the 90s.
Amazingly put.
Akua, once again, I will ask you.
Yeah, I can talk about it. I also have been very anxious in the midst of this whole corona stuff. I was in a transition in work, like I was starting my first week of work and we weren't sure where that was going. And then all of a sudden, all of New York City schools closed. And I was like, what am I going to do for childcare if I still have to go to work? And I have been super anxious and super paranoid. Like my anxiety it's a bit better now, but my anxiety was like on an 8. And like, even now when I go out to do essential things, like go buy food, I'm super aware of like my distance from people and if someone's breathing in my direction. And like, I'm getting a lot more heightened anxiety when I'm with people. Which really wasn't the case because I'm just afraid, like, this might be the interaction in which I'm exposed. This might be the interaction in which I'm exposed. Like, it's just, it's a lot. It's a lot. I've always said I'm a bit of a hypochondriac, and this pandemic is not helping. It's not helping at all. But I've been leaning into mastery reading more because that's how I get pleasure in life.
Yes.
And what I realized the other day, I had a really good solo session. I realized that I haven't had a dick in my mouth in quite a couple of years.
And there we have the title of the episode.
It writes itself.
It was a moment where I was like, yo, I don't know if I know how to suck dick no more. So then I pulled out one of my good boys and got to practicing. And that was a good time.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, I think it's like riding a bike, right?
Yeah, you can't unlearn it.
I don't know how to ride a bike, never.
Oh, yeah, I don't know how to ride a bike either. So here I am going like, yeah, it's just like that. I don't know.
It's like tying your shoes. You can't forget. Let's make it even more basic.
But I learned that I could not forget. And if I did, it's a skill set I could build right back up. So,
yeah. I was going to say, if we want to tie it back to sex, love, and dating, I mean, I have not stopped. I'm one of those people with the flossing, and also just like, I have been a little careless and not having stopped having sex this entire time. And it's been a great time. So I don't know. When you're indoors with a person after a while, it's just like, all right, we're going to do this.
Yeah. I mean, there's an 80% chance that the person you're sharing the space with, you're going to contract the virus from. So I think at that point, like, I'm talking about people who are like driving fucking miles and like driving back and are not living with the person.
But people are really like out here going on Tinder dates, like meeting people on Tinder and still hooking up.
Yeah. People are hosting sex parties and I'm like,
no.
What is your problem? Okay. Moving on. Chances are at this very moment, you may be stressed the fuck out and stuck indoors, like we all just described that we were. We're all going through a tough and unprecedented time as a global community, and I'm sure that you as an individual are feeling that in some way or another. Between general anger and confusion at society and having some of my money-making streams straight up canceled, I sure am. And something that's helping me through this without requiring me to leave my home is one of my favorite online services, BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in under 24 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There is a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's counselor network, which may not be locally available in many areas. BetterHelp is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account at any time and send your counselor a message. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. And since you've probably been mandated to practice social distancing, this is a really effective service right now. My BetterHelp counselor in particular has really opened up space for me to vent about what's going on in the world and help me sort some of the jumbled thoughts I have in my head about everything, and I really freaking appreciate it. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today, and so do we at InnerHo Uprising. You can visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. You can also visit betterhelp.com/IHU, that's Better H-E-L-P, and join the over 700,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. That is a special offer for InnerHo Uprising listeners. You can get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/IHU. Let's get back to this show. Right, now we're getting into a segment we like to call Fuck You. It is the segment about your sexual, romantic, and dating lives. And if you would like to ask us for some advice, share your hotels, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, you can send your thoughts to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Please include your pronouns. Also, because we are in the future, you can leave us a voicemail. We'll play it and respond to it on the show. So you can drop us a line at 404-491-9158. Once again, that's 404-491-9158. So this week's letter is from Venithia, which is a fake name, so don't try to guess who this is. I'm not sure of their pronouns, so I'm going to be using they, them, and the title of the email is Feeling Guilty. So the email reads, "Hey hoes, my name is Venithia, fake name, and I've been listening to your podcast for a while now, and I love it. It has taught me so much about all things sex and owning my sexuality. I've always been interested in sex, possibly because I was exposed to it at a young age, but I have grown to love learning and experiencing more about my sexuality. I'm currently in college studying criminology and criminal justice and have taken many courses on sex crimes, domestic abuse, and sex trafficking. This semester, I am taking a sex trafficking class, which I love. A few weeks ago, a group called the Red Light Rebellion came to speak to my class about porn and how it affects sex trafficking. fascinating. During the presentation, they discuss how viewing porn releases the same chemicals that taking drugs does, which can cause you to become addicted and want to view more and more porn, as well as harsher porn to get off to. They explain how many porn stars or videos on websites such as Pornhub are victims of sex trafficking and how viewing it contributes to the problem. I'm very much against sex trafficking and spend a lot of my time investigating and helping to stop it. However, I left the class after this presentation feeling conflicted. As I mentioned before, I have always been an advocate of embracing sexuality and am a frequent viewer of porn as I masturbate often, but I left feeling guilty and wondering if I should stop viewing porn altogether because I did not want to contribute to sex trafficking. A big question I have is, how do you separate those who do sex work from those who are victims of sex trafficking? From what I am learning, there seems to be a very thin line of determining who is willingly engaging in this and who may be controlled by a pimp or a trafficker. I don't want to contribute to the problem, but I also want to continue to empower embracing sexuality and being a sexual being. I would love to hear you guys' thoughts about it. Sorry for the long message. Oh, no worries. I would love to hear you guys' thoughts about it. Signed, Venithia. I think this is a really important thing to talk about, and I will say that I am not an expert on sex trafficking, nor am I a sex worker, so grain of salt, and, you know, like, I don't have, like, the full range of talking about this, but just from, like, what I know about sex work, sex trafficking, brain chemistry, trying to address your question, given everything that I have and everything that I've read and researched. So a quick overview before I get into a lot of this stuff is that sex trafficking is an issue, and anti-sex work sentiment is also an issue, as well as the criminalization of sex work and anti-sex work legislation. So organizations that have expressed broad sweeping generalization about sex work and porn that conflate them with sex trafficking are dangerous organizations who, in my opinion, aren't doing a very good job of addressing either issue. The criminalization of sex work and the subsequent shrouded stigmatization around it make it difficult for sex workers to live and also make it difficult for victims of sex trafficking to come forward and expose exploitation. So even though sex trafficking is very different from sex work, in that sense, they're both being affected by this kind of sentiment. So let's talk about brain chemicals. And Kua, I feel like I would really appreciate it if you chimed in on this with your therapist expertise. So one thing that this organization said was that the brain chemicals released during watching porn are the same brain chemicals that are released while taking drugs. So there are three brain chemicals released by your brain when you're watching porn, or three main brain chemicals, and they are dopamine, which is associated with feelings of pleasure and reward, oxytocin and vasopressin, which are both associated with recalling long-term memories. Oxytocin specifically is related to social bonding, and vasopressin is related to, like, osmosis or something like that, like something that your cells do. Mm-hmm. I want to hone in on dopamine, though, because when people talk about addiction, they often bring up dopamine and they're not doing it from, like, a fully unpacked perspective. So let's take a moment to talk about dopamine. So other activities that release dopamine include exercise, listening to music, or eating something yummy. So just because something is an activity is releasing dopamine doesn't mean it's bad or addictive. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter that is associated with many pathways, and the neuroscience behind addiction itself is a complex set of things working in tandem that's a lot more complicated than watching porn leads to a release of dopamine, and so do drugs, so porn is addictive. Like, it's a lot more complicated than equating those two things. I'm putting a link to a Slate article in the show notes that talks about dopamine and how the release of dopamine is conflated with addiction. I think that you should check that out. I also researched all night, and I couldn't find any specific scientific consensus that says that porn is inherently addictive. So, like, you can have a food addiction or be addicted to, like, many different kinds, like, it's behavioral addictions, right, Akua?
Yes.
So you can have many different behavioral addictions, but that doesn't mean that the thing that you're addicted to is inherently addictive. So you can have a sex addiction, but sex isn't inherently addictive. You can have a food addiction, but food isn't inherently addictive, and neither is porn.
I've always had people say things like, specifically with dopamine, it's very common that people are just like, well, that's the same thing that's released with this, so it must be inherently addictive. So, like, hearing this is kind of like, oh yeah, that's definitely a common trope with people, where they're just like, they're not realizing it's a combination of things. It has to do with your personality, it has to do with what you're already susceptible to, et cetera, et cetera. It's just like, if it makes you feel good, it's probably addictive just because. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Like breathing makes me feel good, nigga. Am I addicted to breathing? What are you guys talking about? Anything else to add, Akua?
No.
Oh, wow. Look at me.
You got this.
I, too, am a licensed mental health. No, I'm just kidding. Shout out to Akua and Rob and Janina for, like, allowing me to absorb all of their information about science. So then I want to talk a little bit about this group called the Red Light Rebellion. So I mentioned this a couple of episodes ago, but I do want to reiterate this tactic that I use when any information is being presented to me, and I encourage you all to use it in any situation, even this show, and it's called lateral reading. So lateral reading is the act of seeking out additional information as you're engaging with one source of information. So I don't know if you did this, but something that I would do as this group is talking to me is be researching about what they're telling me and researching about who they are in the first place. So there's actually very little about this group, but these are just some of the things that I came to mind and that I researched after you gave us their name. So first of all, their name in and of itself is called Red Light Rebellion. So let's like break down the etymology of that, and we can talk about red light. So red light is often referring to the red light district, which is a catch-all term for a pleasure district, a part of an urban area where a concentration of sex work or sex-oriented businesses such as sex shops, strip clubs, and adult theaters are found. So their name is literally Red Light Rebellion, which to me just indicates that they are rebelling against sex work as a whole. They've made no attempt to even not say that. It's not sex trafficking rebellion. It's Red Light Rebellion. So it seems to me that they're conflating these two issues, and that's a problem. Their talk in general, obviously I wasn't there for the talk, and I'm only going off of what you are telling us, but one thing that would spark in my mind was, did they provide any peer-reviewed or repeated research regarding their claim that porn is addictive? So I went online, and I did not find anything that has proven that porn is inherently addictive. Akua, have you?
No.
Okay, Akua has literally went to grad school for this. So it's a very strange claim for them to make. Also, what is their credibility here? So how is a group that intends to end sex trafficking so knowledgeable about the neuroscience of porn? What is their credibility in that? I don't understand. And so I think that there's no credibility there at all, personally. Then I went on their website. So what gives them the credibility to even speak about this, and who is working for them? That's a really important thing when you're talking about organizations. You have to look at their board of directors. You have to look at their staff. There is actually no about page for the Red Light Rebellion. So most websites will have an about page or something about the people who are working on it. We have it. It's a tab called Host, and you can see all of us. You can see everything that we study and what we do and why we're credible to talk about the things that we talk about. Red Light Rebellion does not even give us that. There's no about page, but if you search on their website and you type in like a keyword like founders or something like that, there is one page that's not like linked to on their website. You have to go into Google to find it. And the page is called Brandon and Brianna. And on that page, it is just listed that they are missionaries. And there is a picture of them saying, we bought our first house, we feel adult now. Once again, there's no credibility there in that they should be speaking about this or that they have the tools to adequately fight against sex trafficking. Here are some things that I would... So lateral reading also includes you looking for things that you would expect to see from a credible website and seeing if the website that you're looking at has those kinds of things. So something in my mind that I would assume that a credible website that is actually working to fight sex trafficking and not conflating sex trafficking with sex work would be people of color fucking working for them. People of color in leadership. Black folks specifically in leadership. Black folks specifically make up a disproportionate amount of the percentage of people who are sex trafficking victims. As of 2011, and I'm sure that number has fluctuated a bit because that was 10 years ago, but as of 2011, 40% of sex trafficking victims were Black. Black people are only 13% of the population here in the States. All of these statistics apply to the United States, by the way. I would expect a credible website to actually be in consultation with sex workers to understand the difference between sex work and sex trafficking. I would also expect a website like this to break down the difference between sex work and sex trafficking. I did not see that on their website. Last but not least, I don't want to be anti-religion, but to me, it's extremely suspect that folks who call themselves missionaries within a religion that's been traditionally anti-sex are doing this work while making these statements regarding porn, these like non-credible statements regarding porn. So it's like a lot of things stacking on top. To me, it seems like they're more anti-sex than pro-stopping sex trafficking.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was definitely getting those like, oh, you should be celibate when you're like, you know, when people go into the sex ed things and they come and talk, but they're just preaching about celibacy and not talking about protection or anything like that. I'm getting those kind of vibes from this. And it was kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah. They're just all, and they're all fucking white. Like, it's just like their cover photo is like 6 to 10 white young people jumping. Like the jumping photo that everybody took in 2010.
Nope.
I don't, where is that? What is, how does that apply? How does that apply? Now let's talk a little bit about Pornhub. So Pornhub and free internet porn is an extremely murky territory to navigate because they traditionally source videos from random people uploading shit to the internet. So that is true. You truly can, on a website like Pornhub, be a user who has fucking sex trafficked somebody, filmed it, and uploaded it to Pornhub. And if you are not a verified user, Pornhub has not done their due diligence, or Xvideos or Xtube, any of those other kinds of websites, they don't do their due diligence in seeing where the fuck this is actually coming from. It's also a place where revenge porn can come up, where like it's somebody who filmed something in the consent of a relationship but didn't give consent for that person to upload it to a website. All of these kinds of things can happen on Pornhub and free internet porn. That's why free internet porn like Pornhub is problematic. It's also problematic because there's a good chance you're stealing somebody's work, because somebody can rip something from a porn star who has done this consensually and upload it without them getting any money from it being uploaded to Pornhub. You don't know if this work is being stolen. You might not be able to identify the folks in it because it's often just like big titty hoes, and it's like not the porn star's name or anything like that. And of course, you can't ensure that this person is participating of their own free will, and or that they are of the age of consent. So yes, Pornhub is problematic. Please do know that. Luckily, you can do more lateral reading and you can use alternative websites or alternative ways to seek out porn, if even watching porn is something that you're still interested in, knowing that there is a risk. So let's say you've paid for porn and you're on a website where you can easily identify porn stars. You can just punch in their names onto Twitter. You can check out their websites. You can see who they are, that they're enthusiastic about their jobs, that they're getting paid, and that they're not being sex trafficked. So that's like with a big porn conglomerate that's existing outside of Pornhub, like Bang Bros or something like that. Also, if you are on these websites, like look them up. Like look at what porn stars have to say about these big porn conglomerates that you might be seeking out your porn on. Because, I mean, I know that porn stars have critiques, and that just because you're not being trafficked doesn't mean you might not be exploited, or that your labor rights might be violated in some way. So really, like, I feel like now more than ever, even though it's still like extremely dangerous for folks on the internet and off who are engaging in sex work, now more than ever, folks are really, really vocal about the types of spaces that they're navigating and things like that. So like, see what people have to say about the website that you're looking at porn on. I would also say, like, just because like men are trash and white men are the trashiest, maybe try engaging with porn sites that are not run and operated by those kinds of people. So look into like people of color porn, look into queer porn, look into women porn, non-binary porn, or websites that are ran by those people. If you are on a free website like Pornhub, I would encourage you to, at least for the sake of the compensation of creators, watch porn by verified creators on Pornhub. When you do that, if you're on Pornhub, you see like a little blue check mark. That's what a verified creator is. When you're watching that kind of porn, you can directly tip the people who are making your porn, which I would encourage you to do so, especially now because sex workers are also being affected by the pandemic. And then even in the verified creator section, Pornhub allows that space for those kinds of creators to have their own bios. And in their bios, they'll put their social media and they'll put their personal websites. And once again, you can do your due diligence and check out what they're saying on their social media. And you can look like, do I think that if this person's going on live and being like, oh yeah, I just dropped a video of my OnlyFans, like chances are they're not being sex trafficked. You can also, speaking of OnlyFans, you can skip the middleman. websites and consume directly from porn stars on websites like OnlyFans or via things like private snaps. So there's a lot of porn stars and folks who do camming and things like that who are very pro sex work and very vocal about their agency and enthusiasm in working in their space. If you really want to ensure like there's no sus shit going on here, there's no exploitation, this person is doing it for them, then you should engage with porn made by independent creators. Twitter is a really great place to discover folks who do porn, by the way. Last but not least, if you're still feeling uneasy about porn and you need time to sort through your thoughts, or if you're just like, it's the internet, I can never quite tell, or anything like that, I would offer these suggestions. You can consider watching animated porn. It's nobody being trafficked in animated porn.
That's a fact.
Can consider reading erotica. You can consider listening to erotic audio content. And last but not least, I keep saying last but not least. This is really the last thing. This is really the last thing, and it's the leastiest. I'm glad that you're so passionate about ending sex trafficking. I would say going forward, try coupling your research on sex trafficking with some material published by sex workers, because there is often this conflation, and I really don't think there's a solve to the problem without knowing the difference and addressing the issues, the anti-sex work sex sentiment, as well as sex trafficking. Like, I really think both of those things need to be solved. You can also find material highlighting the nuance in the conversation, so you can look at what sex workers say about legislation like FOSTA-SESTA or pandemics like the one that we're in that put consenting workers at risk for exploitation. So things like FOSTA-SESTA force sex workers to, and at this point, like, just Google that if you don't know what that is. We've talked about it on the show a lot, but that kind of legislation forces sex workers off the internet and forces sex workers to be less able to screen the people that they're seeing, which then might lead them in the hands of a sex trafficker. So it's really important to understand that distinction and where that nuance lies. And I hope that that was all helpful.
Again, Samantha, you leave us no choice but to stand. Just none.
I mean, geez.
When I read it, every point I thought of, you have thoroughly explained and researched. Even when I was like, okay, even if like visual porn isn't it for you anymore, audio content, Samantha said, nope, I already got it.
I would just like to say, just from the emphasis on lateral reading in general as a whole, I realized, and this is something I realized about myself very recently, I could very easily be one of those people who, like, there's a blatantly wrong article on Facebook or anything, and I repost it even though it's been proven wrong and it was from 5 years ago. Like, I'm pretty sure I thought that the dude from the Jeffersons died, like, yesterday, because they just posted that again. So I definitely have those moments, and that can be read as just, like, what are you talking about? And I've really been trying to make sure that before I say anything or do anything, I just try and look at multiple sources. And I've learned that from Sam, because Sam will not allow you to say some bullshit without being like, nah, you're wrong, my nigga. Like, I need you to know you're wrong. And I had a couple of moments this week, and I'm like, you're right, bro, my bad, I'm gonna shut up. I want to say it's important, because you can end up saying stupid shit. And, like, good thing I have a friend who will check me, but also, like, there's moments where niggas will just look at you like, and in this moment when I was reading the beginning part, I was like, damn, like, porn is addicting. Like, I'm one of those people. But knowing you have to look at other things, and it's so important, because you could spend your whole life believing some shit and, like, not even know that, like, if you look at another article, it's debunking all of those things. So I just want to say, like, lateral reading, it's just something that I've been adapting in my regular life lately, because you really need to stay informed. And that's, like, no one else's really responsibility except for your own, because niggas like the Red Light Rebellion will come in and have you thinking certain things, and they're just white missionaries jumping on a Facebook page. You know what I mean? It's just, it's so important. And this is me speaking as somebody who does that all the time. But, like, knowing that you could be, especially if you're passionate about something, you're emboldened and you want to just, like, make a difference, you have to make sure that you're looking at things and not taking just things at face value, because a lot of people are just reading one source themselves and sharing it with other people thinking that they know. And then you could just be spreading the wrong message through and through. So, like, this whole thing, I was like, yeah, I almost stopped looking at porn just reading that one thing. And, like, knowing all this stuff now, it's, you just gotta, lateral reading, y'all. I'm an advocate, okay?
Lateral reading 2020. That's my candidate. All right. Cool. Anybody have anything else to add before I wrap the show?
I just want to add, because this is the one thing I read, or the one thing that stuck out to me was kind of this all or nothing kind of thinking that you presented with. And it's like, I don't know, you can't say you do this in other parts of your life, but more than likely you do. It went from porn might be addictive and a part of sex trafficking, so I have to cut out all porn. And that's the same as saying, these strawberries I'm allergic to, so I can't eat no fruit ever again. There has to be a middle ground in which you can figure out what you can do to solve a problem, but also engage in something ethically, which Samantha has laid out in all of her points. But that was something that really stuck out to me. It was just like, all right, I gotta cut out all the porn in my life. And there's also other mediums of porn, as Samantha has pointed out.
Good points. Good episode from afar. Miss you guys. I've been talking to these plants over here and the comforter hanging on the wall. You're here in spirit. If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, a rating and a review. And you can let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate you all.
And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Hope Rising without the G on Twitter, Inner Hope Rising on Instagram and Facebook. And you can join our Facebook group by searching Inner Hope Uprising Community. That is CUMMUNITY. Head to innerhoeuprising.com to sign up for weekly goodies via our newsletter, to pay a hoe, or to check out our merchandise. And if you would like to follow me, Rodeca, personally, you can at The Darkest Timeline on Instagram and Exist and Crisis at Twitter. On Twitter, yes.
You guys can follow me, A Cool Girl, at Hey A Cool Girl on Instagram and Twitter. That's HEYYAKUAGIRL.
You can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter, and Carmen Sam Diego on Instagram for travel and food photos, even though I'm not traveling. But maybe I'll post like the bread that I'm making lately. And everybody's social media will be in the description of this episode. Thank you, everybody. Have a lovely week.
Bye.